This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Believe it, the year is almost over. It's hard to believe, you know. I'm so glad for the Advent and Christmas and Thanksgiving season because it's, you know, it forces us to kind of almost, not escape, but kind of go into a time of just joy and gratitude and gratefulness. And it's been a real blessing these past number of weeks. Going through the Advent weeks and the different candles and just the celebration. I had a blessing of a time with family. And so the temptation is, you know, after the Christmas season is over and reality strikes you again, the temptation is to get all upset, you know. But if you look back in the year, you think so much has happened, you know. You had COVID-19. You had a historic economy crash. You had we had to close this church for a few weeks because we didn't know what we were dealing with initially. And there were sweeping riots and vandalism all over the country. You had political corruptions. You had terrible social agendas. You had terrible media agendas. You had terrible social media agendas. You had terrible agendas. Because I never used mine. And for myself, when I come to the end of the year, usually, past number of years being a believer, I tend to spend some time, as you probably do, in self-reflection. You know, where am I, Lord? What is the direction of my life? Where do I need change? Where should I be differently? I feel with this year that the stress and the turmoil that we've experienced in 2020 is pushing and going to carry over into 2021. I feel that. And God only knows what's going to happen. So the question that we're going to ask this morning is this. How can I have victory in 2021? How can I have victory in 2021? And we're going to look at the famous account of David and Goliath. Everybody knows the story of Goliath. I'm so thankful that we get to jump into that story because I love the story of Goliath. And many of you grew up hearing the story of David and Goliath. We all recall the story of the 9-foot monstrous Jew bully. Someone mentioned once that we should go easy on the Jew bully because after all, he's really a Gentile giant. But here's Israel, okay? Here's Israel. They've got the king that they wanted. They got Saul. They've got the promises of Abraham. They've got the promises, the covenant of the Mosaic covenant. Okay, they're on God's side. But something went wrong along the way. Saul was distressed, being tormented by an evil spirit because of his compromise. Samuel, he's nowhere to be found. Where's Samuel? And the enemy wants to fight. It's not a good situation already. But then here comes in this unfathomably fearsome warrior, this large champion, the Bible calls him. He's this unequaled, he's a statue of a man whose mere laugh could make Chuck Norris chicken out. And as if his mere presence was stressful enough, he actually, repeatedly, marches in between the two armies and defies the Israelites and their God. He literally mocks the chosen people of Yahweh. Thus, mocking Yahweh himself. I mean, who does this guy think he is? Like the biggest man on earth or something? Perhaps. And the Israelites are just hiding in the bushes. What can they do? Looking into this story and seeing what happens, we can realize, we can find out how to have victory in our own lives. Because we'll see what happens. So we're asking, how can I have victory in 2021? Well, the first step to find victory in 2021 is don't be a bystander and step up. Okay? That's the first way. Don't be a bystander and step up. Because I feel like an Israelite when I think of the year ahead, hiding in the bushes, wishing this giant of a problem would just go away. Like, go away, Goliath. Just go away. I don't like you. You're making my life stressful and difficult. Just go away, Goliath. But Goliath doesn't go away. Know how we feel like we should just get a break from this world, from the evil in our world, from the evil in our government, from the evil in our communities, from the evil in our churches, from the evil, perhaps, in our own hearts. We just want to say, go away, Goliath. But guess what? Goliath isn't gone. Goliath doesn't go away. He's there day after day, taunting God's people. Look at verse 16, if you will, in 1 Samuel 17, verse 16. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. So he's not giving up. He's not giving up. I sometimes feel like we're on day 22 of Goliath's taunting marathon. I think we probably all feel like those Israelites. Oh, Lord, when is it going to end? When can things get back to the way they were? When I enjoyed squashing grapes between my toes and planting wheat. And we wake up every morning thinking, today will be different. And we put on our spiritual armor, okay? We put on our spiritual armor and we wield the sword of the Spirit and we kind of give our little prayers up to the Lord and we step outside and we feel like we're gonna conquer the day and we're ready for all this activity. And then we hear a booming voice, I defy the armies of Israel this day. You're like, oh no, Goliath is still there. I thought he was done. I thought he was going back to Gath. Now my whole day is ruined. And you just feel like the pressure of Goliath is just pounding on you stronger and stronger day after day. And I can admit I feel like a lot of we Western church folks are like the bystanders. We all know there is a need. We all know there is a call to fight. We all know that sinners are dying and going to hell, but we all are pointing our fingers at each other saying, you go. No, you go. You go. And I include myself. And why are we doing this? Well, we're probably afraid that Goliath is going to kill us. But here's a good question. What happens if nobody fights? Is Goliath just going to give up and walk away? Is the devil just going to say, well, I guess no Christians want to fight. I'd better go pray in another people group. Somewhere else. I'm guessing that if David never stepped up, Goliath would eventually stop his taunt, only to rally his army and attack and destroy the people. So if I don't step up, I lose. If nobody steps up, we all lose. That's the way battles work. But the way the logic is running with these Israelites, and with sometimes we have this logic, okay? I don't want to fight Goliath because I don't want to die. But if nobody fights Goliath, everybody will probably die or become slaves. Therefore, I won't fight Goliath. Do you see the way we think and we reason? Okay? If I don't step up, if we don't step up in 2021, what's going to happen? These are hard questions, but we've got to ask them.
I believe that the battle is closer than we think, so we better start asking the question now. What's going to happen if we don't step up? We'll lose. If we don't step up, we'll lose, but we're tempted not to step up because we're afraid that we'll lose. Somebody's got to help me here. What about Saul? Listen, Saul, he was the king of the Israelites. Why didn't he step up? If you go back in 1 Samuel chapter 9, you see that he was the ideal warrior king that the people wanted. The people wanted a king. They found their king. The Lord provided Saul. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjaminite, a mighty man of power, and he had a choice and handsome son whose name was Saul. There was not a more handsome person than he among the children of Israel. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. Okay, he was the guy. He was the ideal. He was the Hollywood star playing the warrior in the great film. They wanted him. He didn't step up. He was king. Why didn't he fight? He was afraid of losing. But if he didn't fight, did Saul think that he would get off the hook? That the Philistines would attack and would have tried to kill and imprison everyone except King Saul? What about Eliab? Or Eliab? David's older brother. Remember, Samuel thought that Eliab was the chosen king in the place of Saul. In 1 Samuel 16, verses 5 and 6. Samuel says, "Peaceably I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was, verse 6, when they came that he looked at Eliab, and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. This is the guy. He must have looked like a mighty warrior, the oldest son." Why didn't he fight? He didn't step up. Well, it was time to eat cheese. Look in verse 17 and 18 of chapter 17. Then Jesse said to his son David, "Take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and then these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000 and see how their brothers fare." He didn't fight. He got dad's cheese, but they're all about to be obliterated. When you step up, when I step up, we're going to see the seriousness of the situation. I get that. We will never experience spiritual victory in our personal lives, in the life of the church, in our nation, if we don't feel the weight of the need to step up and do something about it. There are just too many bystanders in our church, not just the Western church, and we're not going to be victorious that way. When you and I step up, we will see the seriousness of the situation, I admit, but we'll go to God in earnest, sincere, painful prayer, and God will lay on our hearts the need. And if you, or if I say, "Not me, Lord," the Lord will probably respond, "If not you, then who? If not you, then who?" David Wilkerson said that some Christians are just living to die. And this is the case with those who don't want to step up. We end up just living long enough just until the Philistines kill us. This is not the glorious story that God has for our lives. This is not what God intends. God intends something so much greater, so much more glorious than we can imagine, so much better, so much more beautiful than that. So the first step to victory in 2021 is to don't be a bystander, step up. The second step to victory in 2021 is to be a victor, not a victim. To be a victor and not a victim. I know it sounds weird, okay? How do you gain victory? Be a victor. Well, right. But you'll see what we mean here. Look at verse 24 in 1 Samuel 17. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, the giant, the champion, when they saw Goliath, they fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. They considered themselves victims. There were too many victims in Israel, people who lost the battle before they fought. And that's the tactic of the evil one, to get us to flee before the fight, to make us think that we are the victims before the skirmish begins. Have we ever woken up in the morning feeling like we've already lost? Of course, Satan would want that to be the first thought in our minds. When we wake up, they're already a loser. Well, fight back. Don't accept it. Don't buy the lie. Goliath won't go away if we ignore it. We're not victims. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23 says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. God is promising that every day you wake up, there is a new mercy and a new compassion given to you to fight back the evil one. And remember who wrote that? That was Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. And he begins that chapter in Lamentations. He says, I am a man who has seen affliction by the rod of His wrath. And He's the one who said, we are not consumed. If anyone had enough earthly anguish to question the mercy of the Lord, it was Jeremiah. And even though the book is entitled the Book of Laments, the Book of Sorrows, even in such a book, a believer can say that the Lord's mercies, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Then comes David, ruddy, handsome, but the youngest of his father's house. He was a tender of the sheep. He was the least liked. He was a shepherd and bringer of cheese. Born in backwoods Bethlehem. Potentially the son of a different woman than his brothers. As I read about that, it's potentially true that David's brothers are his half-brothers. And that's why they didn't like him. And as David admits, in sin did my mother conceive me. Not a great legacy. But David brings something very unique to the battle. He doesn't bring the idea that he's already a victim, but he brings the idea that he's a victor. He's a victor. Look at verses 24 to 26. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Picture it. You've got Goliath, 9 feet tall, standing there. And all the Israelites, all of the best, cowering in the bushes. And here comes David. He says, who's this guy think he is? That's the mentality of a victor. Have you ever spoken like that to Satan? Who is this unholy, fallen creature who defies the church of Jesus Christ? That's the attitude of a victor. David speaking like the battle's already won. David speaks as if Goliath is a finished foe, a defeated dud, an ended enemy. Imagine the craziness of such a statement. All the mighty men of Israel are cowering at the cackles of a gigantic Gentile, and the ruddy son of Jesse squares his back and says, who is this that insults my God? Those are the words of someone who has confidence that victory is on his side. That's the attitude of a victor. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Romans chapter 3. I try to understand that. You're not only a conqueror, the Bible says. You've won the battle, but you are more than a conqueror. How do you... Okay, I've won, but I'm more than a winner. How does that work? Well, because you're more than a conqueror, because you can't lose any future battle through Him. Nothing will remove you from the precious love of God in Christ Jesus. You are His, and by following Him, you have guaranteed victory. You have guaranteed victory. Imagine, you know, when I was younger in high school, I liked to run. I don't do it anymore, but I'd like to pick it up someday. I just go out in the morning, go for a run. And when I was in school, I liked to, you know, race with my buddies. We would see who's the fastest, okay? And imagine starting a race with somebody and saying, and having a 100% confidence, I am going to win this race. Imagine what that's like. You know, if we didn't run, obviously we're not going to win. We still have to run. But imagine knowing when I begin this race, I am going to win. I am going to win. Not I might, I am going to win. This is the promise given to Christians. The strength is not in our own legs, it's in the power of God. But when we start the fight, we are winners. We are more than conquerors. And that's encouraging for 2021. We can enter January 1st with the mentality, I am a victor. Who is this who mocks my God? And Satan will try to bring you down with trials and temptations, and your mentality is, sorry, Satan. God has provided a way of escape for me. God has withheld your power, Satan, and will not allow me to be tempted beyond my ability to resist in Him. I am a victor in this situation. So, be a victor, not a victim. Third step to victory in 2021, practice often when you're alone. Practice often when you're alone. Because we know, David decides to fight Goliath knowing he'll win. But that doesn't mean David wasn't prepared. David didn't just slovenly amble in from shepherding the sheep half asleep and decide to fight the fiercest enemy mankind can produce. He had practice. Look back in verse 32 and to 37 in chapter 17. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it, and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing as he has defied the armies of the living God." You see, David knew that God was the one who was going to fight. That's why he had this victor mindset. But that didn't mean David never practiced. He often, in the fields, had to protect his precious sheep from the attacks of ferocious beasts. David wasn't blindly relying on the Lord. He knew what he was doing. He was used to this kind of environment, and he practiced often. The victory and the glory rested in the hands of God, but David still had to pick up those stones. He still had to swing. He still had to aim, and he still had to let go at just the right time. How's our prayer life and devotions? That's where bears and lions are fought. Listen, the two things I am most convicted of this year are the irregularities in my devotions and my very unfortunate lack of love for the lost. Because if I truly loved them, I'd share the gospel. Those are my two greatest convictions. Yet these are the two greatest opportunities for this year. That's my bear and my lion. And the fire is there. And pray that God sets it aflame afresh. How's our prayer life? That's how we beat Goliath. We spend time and practice fighting lions, tigers, and bears, oh my. If we neglect the battle on our knees, we've already lost. It is actually possible for every believer to engage in spiritual warfare to such a degree that the foundations of hell are shaken, like pillars in Samson's day, and actually collapses the building, defeating the enemy, and all this in your closet. It is actually possible, brothers and sisters, to alter the outcome of events because God so chose prayer to be part of His providence. And I can't say it any clearer than this. If I, want victory in 2021, we need to take prayer and devotions seriously in our lives. I need to seriously seek the face of God in light of the perilous times that we are living in. And that will take time and effort, but in the end, we're going to see the bear and the lion carcasses on the ground in front of us. Amen. So practice often when you're alone. Step 4, to victory in 2021. Expect to look foolish. Expect to look foolish. Look at verse 42 and 43. And when the Philistines looked about and saw David, he disdained him. When Goliath looked at David, he disdained him. For he was only a youth, ruddy, good looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." You're going to look foolish. I'm sure when David got down there next to Goliath, I think there was probably a big enough of a contrast to make people go, you know, get the hook off the stage and kind of yank David back off the stage here. It's pretty self-explanatory. If you start fighting God's way, you're going to look foolish. I remember the time when I worked at McDonald's back in Rhode Island. There was an opportunity for me to become a manager. And one of the requirements they were asking of me, it shouldn't have been this way, but they wanted me to work on Sundays. And I had this conviction that the Lord did not want me to do that. I understand some situations require, you know, I'm not saying that, but for myself and my own conviction, that the Lord did not want me to work on Sundays. So I told that to my manager. And I remember she just looked at me and she said, "God's not going to be mad at you if you work on a Sunday." And I remember feeling pretty stupid, actually. I felt pretty stupid. I knew it was the right thing to do, but I felt pretty foolish about it. But I knew I had to obey the Lord. So when the call to step up, the call to be on the offense, the call to fight back comes, and as a result, we look pretty stupid because I'm only 5'6.5", 5'7", on certain days. And Goliath is over there, and he's 90'7.5". And I look pretty foolish. But do we become ashamed? Do we shy away? No, why? Because we are part of the army of the living God. Sorry it offended you, but we're Christians and we're not ashamed of the gospel. If they think us silly, stupid, embarrassing, bigoted, goody-two-shoed, churchy, party-pooper, Bible thumpers, oh well. We're not fighting because we're trying to win a name for ourselves. We're fighting to serve God, to honor Him, to further His love in the world around us. And we're fighting because we bear the name of Jesus Christ and we are not ashamed. We are not ashamed. We're going to look foolish, but so what? This life is so short, and we know what is to come. The fifth step to victory in 2021, fight knowing the battle is the Lord's. Spoke on this a little bit already, but fight knowing, okay, we do have to fight. We do have to run the race. We do have to stand before Goliath. We do have to practice alone and fight the bears and the lions. But when the day comes, when we step up, when we go out in the field, when we face Goliath, fight knowing the battle is the Lord's. You see, the whole story has been building up. David and Goliath, it's been building up to this very point. Okay, when you and I hear the story or we hear sermons about David and Goliath, it's the same theme. We tend to think of it as face your giants, you know, face your giants. And that's a true application. Otherwise, I'd have to scrap this sermon. But there is something deeper that is weaving together in here. The center of attention through the whole story is not on Goliath. As bullish and as boastful as he is, the center of attention through the story is not on David, as zealous and as brave and as confident he is. The center of attention throughout the story is on God. The whole account has to do with the name of God and His name on His people and what's at stake in the battle. The next statement that David makes says it all. David's chief reason for fighting, his total confidence in winning, is because God's glory is on the bench. And God will not allow the glory of His name defile. Look at verse 43. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, I will give your flesh for the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spirit, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head." I love that. "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you and I will take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly," David says, "shall know that the Lord does not save by the sword. He does not save by the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands." Can you face 2021 with that attitude? "This year, I will fight to let the world know that there is a God in Israel." The whole attention, the whole focus, the whole attitude of David and Goliath is on God. "This is your battle, God. I am your servant. You guide my hands like you did when I was with you in the wilderness, protecting your sheep from the bear and the lions, and I will have victory." Is that the reason for our Christian lives? The glory of God? Is the fame of His name the reason for what we do as Christians? Because that is what is at stake here. David's not concerned about his possessions. David is not concerned about whether his brothers will have enough cheese after the war is over. The giant insulted God. And that was a big deal to David. He said, "Nobody insults my God. Nobody dishonors the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Goliath's size didn't matter. His taunts are ignored. David's small stature compared to his means nothing. The name of God is at stake. And that leads us to the last step. The sixth step to victory in 2021. Be on the offensive, not the defensive. When I say offensive, I'm not saying go around insulting people. I'm saying in terms of sports, in terms of tactic, be on the offensive, not on the defensive. Look at verse 48, okay? He gives this speech. He says, the battle is the Lord's. He will give you into our hands. Verse 48, so it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David. Then David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in the bag, took out the stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead. And the Bible gives us the little bit fine point that the stone went into his forehead very far. The moment Goliath acted, you know, I can just picture Goliath, you know, he stands up and he starts marching and tall and gigantic. The moment Goliath acted, David reacted. He said, attack. He didn't give Goliath the slightest opportunity to fight back. He was on the move. I mean, just picture David sprinting toward this giant of a man. This is the attitude for the church looking ahead. I'll admit, because of the onslaught of the oddities this year, we were very much on the defensive. We became protective. We became inclusive, protecting ourselves lest the amazing blessing of fellowship that we've cultivated should be threatened. But I feel like 2021 is going to be a little different. I see 2021 as a turn from the inward to the outward, from the defensive to the offensive, from focusing on protecting to focusing to attacking. That is to say, the Church of Jesus Christ needs to get on the front lines of the battle in sharing the gospel and reaching the lost and meeting the needs of those in our lives whom we know needs the good news. And the moment Satan taunts us to shy away, you fight back and you say, nope, won't work this time. And you grab your sling and you kill the temptation and you move on. And then you get into a conversation with that person about what really matters, their soul, the afterlife, God, the Bible, you have it. God has blessed this church in so many ways I can't even begin. And I believe that there's a call for us to take what we've been blessed with together and work out there. That doesn't mean we ignore the inner needs of the church. No, it means it takes what we've cultivated, this beautiful thing we've cultivated this past year, and we go like David. And we turn our attention. Each and every one of us needs a personal movement. I'm not talking about, okay, we'll have more organized events and programs. What I'm saying is each and every one of us needs a personal movement of God's Spirit to turn our attention outward and to actually go and reach out to the eternal souls of our fellow men. And I very well may think that what happened this past year was preparation for the Church of Jesus Christ for the year to come, if we will heed the call and step up. If this was the year of Goliath, how exciting can we think the next year is going to be? Look at verse 49-51. Then David put his hand in the bag, took out the stone. As he slung it, struck the Philistine in his forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. And as if that wasn't enough, David ran over, stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of its sheath, and killed him, cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. That's amazing. Imagine that God is going to do a work in the Church of Jesus Christ, that we will be a collection of men and women who are more than conquerors through Christ. And when Goliath starts taunting us with the empty insults, we say, who is this who defies the Church of Jesus Christ? And collectively, we fight back with the power of prayer warriors and the zeal of evangelists, with strong women of faith who never back down, with mighty men of fervor who want to spend themselves for the glory of the kingdom, children who watch in awe, the adults show a passion for Christ both in and out of the church. Amazing. All of a sudden, we're sending out tracts in the mail. We're sharing the gospel with the telemarketers that call us. We're engaging people in the grocery stores. We're inviting friends and family to restaurants or to our homes to talk with them about their souls and their lives, and we love them, and in essence we are victors because we are unashamed of the gospel which we believe, and Goliath is not going to stand in our way. Amen. He's not going to stand in our way. How can we have victory in 2021? Don't be a bystander. Step up. Be a victor, not a victim. Practice often when you're alone. Expect to look foolish. Fight knowing the battle is the Lord's. Be on the offensive, not the defensive. And boy, there's probably 100 more. But that's a vision of victory for 2021. Don't you think for a minute the battle is over. It's only at phase Goliath right now, okay? There's more to the story. But what part are we going to play? Cowering Christians or daring disciples? Amen? Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, that passion that was in the heart of David, oh Lord, may it be in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that each and every one in this room would have a righteous indignation for the zeal of your kingdom, would truly, honestly be concerned about how your kingdom needs to expand, how you're returning to this earth in judgment and wrath, and how we have the precious truth of the gospel before this short life is over, how the world is getting more and more evil, how we need to cultivate an atmosphere of opportunity for the gospel. I pray, Father, that each and every one of us would have a personal conviction to be devoted to you when we are alone, to be devoted to you when we are in the public sphere, to do your will, to step up to the call. Please, Father God, I pray that if anyone here this morning feels that they want to be a part of this army of the living God, that they want to be a part of this battle, that they feel they might be on the side of the Philistines, oh God, may you draw them to cross over now. I pray, Father in heaven, that they would join your army because you came in love for them. You died on the cross for their sins so that they could be forgiven. Dear Lord, I ask that they would lay their hearts at your feet, you would forgive them of their sins, and they would take up the sling, and they would be a child in your kingdom, a soldier in your army. Father God, help us to be Christians. Help us to be disciples. Dear God, help us to be faithful followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, because it is for His kingdom and His name's sake we are here. In the name of God, I pray that your blessing would befall this church. I ask that your divine attention would come upon us and that you would use each and every person to be a catalyst for Christ in this world. Please weigh that upon us, Lord. And may we take that weight as a gift and embrace it. Please, Father, I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.